Hello, welcome to your daily briefing, April the 20th, 2020. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you continue to guide us each day, that we might follow closely the path that you have determined will be before us. We ask, Lord, that you would help us to be strong and enduring, that we might not only remain faithful, but be a witness to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, today I'd like to discuss with you a little bit or read some articles that have to do with the change of the justice system in the United States of America that has been foretold pretty much. And I'd like to start with a text found in Isaiah chapter 59. We're going to take a look in verses 14 through 17. That would be Isaiah 59, verses 14 through 17. Judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and an helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. And then there's a quote found in Great Controversy, page 529, and paragraph 1, which says this: those who honor the Bible Sabbath will be denounced as enemies of law and order, as breaking down the moral restraints of society, causing anarchy and corruption, and calling down the judgments of God upon the earth. Their conscientious scruples will be pronounced obstinacy, stubbornness, and contempt of authority. They will be accused of disaffection toward the government. Ministers who deny the obligations of the divine law will present from the pulpit the duty of yielding obedience to the civil authorities as ordained of God. In legislative halls and courts of justice, commandment keepers will be misrepresented and condemned. A false coloring will be given to their words. The worst construction will be put upon their motives. Now that is foretold. Great Controversy, page 592 and paragraph 1. And then, of course, Isaiah 59, verses 14 through 17, talks about the fact that justice is turned away backward. Perhaps we have already begun to enter into that phase of the fulfillment. In the New York Times, published March the 14th, 2020, there's an article there written by Rebecca Ruse, R-U-I-Z, and Robert Gebeloff, G-E-B-E-L-O-F-F, and Stephen Eber, E-B-E-D-E-R, and Ben Protes, P-R-O-T-E-S-S, four writers. As I said, it was published on March the 14th, 2020, and the title of the article is A Conservative Agenda Unleashed on the Federal Courts. The title again: A Conservative Agenda Unleashed on the Federal Courts. Now notice I said it's in the New York Times, dated March the 14th, 2020. Now there is a subtext to that heading, and here's the subtext. President Trump's imprint on the nation's appeals courts has been swift and historic. He has named judges with records on a range of issues important to Republicans and to his re-election. The title again: A Conservative Agenda Unleashed on the Federal Courts. Here's the article. President Trump has appointed judges to the Federal Appeals Court at a record-setting pace. The Trump appointees are far less diverse than Mr. Obama's, with two-thirds of them white men. The new judges have been selected for their rock-solid conservative credentials, including at least seven that had previous jobs with Mr. Trump's campaign or his administration. All but eight had ties to the Federalist Society, a legal group with views once considered on the fringe. Now, as he seeks a second term, Mr. Trump can boast of having named more than a quarter of all justices on the appeals court, 51 to date. Now, let me just tell you how many federal judges he has appointed. Let me just pause in that article to give you that. As of April the 1st, 2020, the United States Senate has confirmed 193 Article III justices nominated by President Trump, including two associate justices of the Supreme Court of the United States, 51 judges of the United States Court of Appeals, 138 judges for the United States District Court, and two judges for the United States Court of International Trade. There are currently 38 nominations to Article III courts awaiting Senate action. Now, this is beyond what he has already appointed, okay? There are currently 38 nominations of Article III awaiting Senate action, including 37 for the district courts and one for the Court of International Trade. There's currently one vacancy on the U.S. Court of Appeals, 72 vacancies on the U.S. District Courts, two vacancies on the U.S. Court of International Trade, and five announced federal justices that will occur before the end of Trump's first term for the Court of Appeals and four for district courts. And Trump has not made any recess appointments to the federal courts as yet. In terms of Article I courts, as of February the 27th, 2020, the Senate has confirmed 16 judges nominated by Mr. Trump, including five for the United States Court of Federal Claims, five for the United States Tax Courts, five for the United States Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims, one for the United States Court of Appeals for the Armed Forces, and one for the United States Court of Military Commission Review. Now, this list that I'm reading here, I'm sure you don't hear this in the news, do you? But while all of the rest of the things are happening, this is being done in the Senate. And usually it's the Senate that approves these justices. So they've been doing this on the down low because they have every intention of taking control of the justice in this country. And you know what that means, of course. We've just read about that in the book of Isaiah. And of course, it's pretty clear what great controversy is talking about there also. Armed Services and the U.S. Court of Military Commission Review also have some judges waiting for confirmation. Now, you'll notice just now they talked about, the article was talking about the Federalist Society, the fact that these justices that he has been confirming have all been recommended by the Federalist Society. So let me tell you what that is before we continue with the article. In January 2019, the Washington Post magazine wrote that the Federalist Society had reached an unprecedented peak of power and influence. Of the nine members of the Supreme Court of the United States, five, Brett Kavanaugh, Neil Gorsuch, Clarence Thomas, John Roberts, and Samuel Alito, were currently or former members of the organization called the Federalist Society. Politico magazine wrote that the Federalist Society has become one of the most influential legal organizations in history, not only shaping law students' thinking, but changing American society itself by deliberately, diligently shifting the country's judiciary to the right. The organization, whose ideals include checking federal power, protecting individual liberty and interpreting the Constitution according to the original meaning, plays a central role in networking and mentoring young conservative lawyers. According to Amanda Hollis Bruski, the author of Ideas and Consequences, the Federal Society has evolved into the de facto gatekeeper for the right-center lawyers aspiring to government jobs and federal justices under Republican presidents. According to William & Mary Law School Professor Neil Devins and Ohio State University Professor Lawrence Baum, the administration of Ronald Reagan and George W. Bush aimed to nominate conservative judges, and membership in the Federalist Society was a proxy for adherence to conservative ideology. The Federalist Society has played a key role in suggesting judicial nominees to President Donald Trump. It vetted President Trump's list of potential U.S. Supreme Court nominees. And as of January 2019, 25 out of the 30 of President Trump's appellate court nominees were currently or former members of the society. So now you've got an organization whose job it is to put conservative justices. And I want you to understand what is meant here by conservative justices. This is not just politically conservative men. These are socially and religiously conservative men. But of course, this takes us back to the text that we read in the beginning. Isaiah 59 and verse 14 says, justice is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the street. And then we took a look again at Great Controversy, page 592. Those who honor the Bible Sabbath will be denounced as enemies of the law and order, and breaking down the moral restraints of society, causing anarchy and corruption, and calling down the judgments of God upon the earth. Of course, what we're seeing here is, as the article is entitled in the New York Times, a conservative agenda unleashed on the federal courts. This is a fulfillment here of all that God has told us will take place. Let us continue to take a further look at this article. A Republican candidate for the Texas Supreme Court, Don Willett, flaunted his uncompromising conservatism, boasting of endorsements from groups with pro-life, pro-faith, pro-family credentials. I intend to build such a fiercely conservative record on the court that I will be unconfirmable for any future federal justice post, and proudly so, a Republican rival quoted him, telling party leaders. Judge Willett served a dozen years on the Texas bench, but rather than disqualifying him, his record there propelled him to the very job he had deemed beyond reach. President Trump nominated him to a federal appeals court, and Republicans in the Senate narrowly confirmed his on a party line vote. As Mr. Trump seeks re-election, his right wing and rightward overhaul of the federal judiciary, in particular the highly influential appeals court, has been invoked as one of his most enduring accomplishments. While individual nominees have drawn scrutiny, the New York Times conducted a deep examination of all 51 new appellate judges to obtain a collective portrait of Trump's populated bench. Now, I want you to understand that when these judges are appointed, they are appointed for life. They do not serve in any particular term. Now, continuing the quote, continuing the article, it says, the review shows that the Trump class of appellate judges, much like the president himself, breaks significantly with the norms set by his Democratic and Republican predecessors, Barack Obama and George W. Bush. The lifetime appointees, who make up more than a quarter of the entire appellate bench, were more openly engaged in causes important to Republicans, such as opposition to gay marriage and to government funding for abortion. They more typically held a political post in the federal government and donated money to political candidates and causes. Just four had no discernible political activity in their past, and several were confirmed in spite of an unfavorable rating from the American Bar Association. In other words, the American Bar Association considered some of these people who were being elected as judges now, as incapable and unqualified. All right. Once on the bench, the Trump appointees have stood out for their fellow judges, according to an analyst by the Times of more than 10,000 published decisions and dissents through December. Now, let me read that paragraph for you again, because this is an indication of the direction in which the government of this country is going. Once on the bench, the Trump appointees have stood out from their fellow judges, according to an analysis by the Times of more than 10,000 published decisions and dissents through December. In other words, in each case that has come before them, they have ordered and stood in position for the conservatives, regardless of their position. Continuing, when ruling on cases, they have been notably more likely than other Republican appointees to disagree with peers selected by Democratic presidents, and more likely to agree with those Republican appointees, suggesting they are more consistently conservative. Among the dozen or so judges that most fit the pattern, the Times found are three Mr. Trump has signaled were on the Supreme Court short list. And of course, there are on the Supreme Court short list in case another Supreme Court justice retires or leaves the bench at any time. While the appellate courts favor consensus and disagreement remains relative rare, there were 125 instances when a Trump appointee wrote the majority opinion or dissent in a split decision. The new judges have ruled on disputed cases across a range of contentious issues, including abortion, immigration, LGBTQ rights, lobbying requirements, the examination shows. One new judge, who has held a political job in the Trump administration, dissented on an issue of particular importance to the president, disclosure of his financial records. The judge, Neoma Rao, opposed the decision requiring the release of the documents to a congressional committee, a mandate the president continues to resist and is now before the Supreme Court. So one of his appointed judges have ruled in his favor, saying that the president does not have to reveal his financial records, which is something that every president so far, until Trump has come along, has done. Continuing, they have long records of standing up and they're not afraid of being unpopular, says the president of Judicial Crisis Network, a conservative advocacy group that has pushed for the mold-breaking appointments. Mr. Serovino once served as a law clerk for Justice Clarence Thomas, one of the Supreme Court's most reliable conservative members. Stephen Burbank, a law professor at the University of Pennsylvania, said Mr. Trump's appointments reflected attempts by recent presidents to draw the federal judiciary, a constitutionally independent branch of government, into policy debates more appropriate in Congress and the White House. So in other words, what he's saying here is that they are changing the way the Constitution works. The Justice Department was once an independent organization, and they made their own decisions. But now, because of the appointments of these individuals, they are being drawn into the political view of the presidency and those on the Republican right. Let me just go a little further in the article and share a couple of other paragraphs with you. When Mr. Trump took office, there were 103 unfilled federal court openings in addition to a Supreme Court seat, in part because Senator Mitch McConnell of Kentucky, the Republican leader of the Senate, and allies had refused to proceed with confirming many of Mr. Obama's nominees. The last time so many vacancies had been left to a successor of the opposing party was when the Federalist bench was expanded by dozens of judges under George H.W. Bush. Mr. Trump wasted no time in seizing the opportunity. During his first 3 years in office, with Mr. McConnell's assistance, he was able to name nearly as many appellate judges as Mr. Obama had appointed over two terms. And he did so with great political flourish. More than one-third of the Trump appointees have filled seats previously occupied by judges appointed by Democrats, tipping the balance toward conservatives in some circuits that include largely Democratic states like New York and Connecticut. Even in the San Francisco-based Ninth Court, a reliably liberal appeals court, Mr. Trump has significantly narrowed the gap between judges appointed by Democratic and Republican presidents. With Republicans and Democrats in Congress retreating to their corners, many of the Trump appointees have benefited from Republicans' decision to extend a contentious and partisan confirmation path that have ended bipartisan Senate practices. So in other words, now the war is set. And of course, he's got some more to appoint. And by the time he gets to the end of this serve, of his presidency, he would have appointed even more, 51 more perhaps. Now you understand how the country is changing, that the direction is changing. These are not justices being appointed because they want to simply follow the law and make a decision about what they see to be right or wrong. Judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him, that there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and an helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. That's what God saw. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. In other words, if you decide to follow the will of God, you are going to make yourself a prey. But verse 15 says, God saw it, and it displeased God that there was no judge, no fair judge. And then Great Controversy, page 592, says those who honor the Bible Sabbath will be denounced as enemies of law and order, as breaking down the moral restraints of society, causing anarchy and corruption, and calling down the judgments of God upon the earth. We've been warned about this, and here we are. And you and I need to get to the place in our lives where we understand what it is God wants from us. We must know what we believe, we must know why we believe it, and we must know where to find it, so that our hearts might be rooted and grounded in truth, and that we will walk according to the will of God. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you continue to guide, that you continue to protect, that you continue to instruct. Today we place ourselves in your care, asking that you would continue to prepare us for the time to come, as we see the changes happening before us. And we thank you for what you will do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been your daily briefing, April the 20th, 2020.